Hello and welcome. My name is Peter Sumpton, marketing consultant and Lego master of marketing. And you're listening to the Marketing Study Lab podcast live. Well, this bit isn't live, but the rest of it is. You'll hear a bit about that later. I mean, now. Well, let's crack on. These episodes are taken from my live show, Marketing And, where we look at the relationship between marketing and a specific topic, subject, or specialism. Sometimes there'll be guests, other times it'll just be me. So let's get cracking. Okay, that was a brief intro. Hello and welcome. I'm on my own today. It's a bit of a shame, but the show must go on and all that jazz. Welcome if you're just joining me. My name is Pete Sumpton, Lego Master of Marketing. And what I like to do on a Friday afternoon, because it's the afternoon here in the UK, is dive into some marketing and. And what do we mean by that? Well, what we mean is that we take marketing as a profession that we should all know and love, and we combine that with a particular other element. So that could be, in the past, we've done finance, we've done education, we've done media relations, we've done history, and those types of things. Today's going to be slightly different. It's a slightly different marketing and, because like I say, I'm on my own. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at something called the BRIC model. It's a model that I've created that helps me get across what I am trying to do when I speak to clients. It helps me create a formula for them, a marketing plan for them that is clear and obvious. And also, it makes sure that I don't really miss anything out in that step process. So what I want to do today is take you through that formula. And lo and behold, we use this. We use Lego to do it, which is quite cool, really. Big fan of Lego, as you might know. And it's in the, if you can see it here, this is your BRIC formula. So we've got a fair few points to get through. That includes values, problems, solutions, learn, plan, develop, connect, and obviously action. Always about the action. But first, I just want to break down this model so I can explain it to you a little bit better as we go through today. If you do have any comments, if you do have any questions, please put them in the comments or post them or wherever you're watching this, because we're live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Wow, modern wonders, eh? So what are we doing today? It's marketing and BRIC theory, which will be really cool. Again, just as people start to join us, I just want to highlight the fact that this is, again, my methodology that I take to clients to highlight how I can help them from a marketing point of view, a marketing consultancy point of view, and help them achieve their goals through marketing. Because I'm a strong believer, and my passion in life and my main goal in life is to help as many companies and as many people understand what marketing can do for their business. So if you do have any questions about marketing planning, my BRIC model as we go through it, or anything else for that matter, just dive in the comments and I'll happily talk you through what my answers to your questions where I can. Right, okay, so let's dive into this BRIC model, shall we? Right, okay, so the first part is values. So what do we mean by values? So this is the bottom, this is the base. These are your values. It's the part of the BRIC model that will hold it all together. And that essentially is what we mean by values. They are your non-negotiables. They are the ones that, sorry, excuse me, I'm just going to post a link in to where we are live so that people can join us. 1 second. Let me just do this. Admin on air, I know, completely breaking that wall, but hey, who cares? It's my live. We can do what we want to, eh? And let's do that. So let me post a link. And then we'll get back to it. Brilliant. Let's get back to it. Right. Okay. As I was saying, this is the brick model. And what we start with within the brick model in marketing planning, when I go and see clients, is their values. What do we mean by values? Well, we mean they're non-negotiables. What are the non-negotiables? What are the elements of their company? What are their values, their beliefs, their culture that they are not willing to negate in any way, shape, or form? Every company should have values. Every company should have ethics and beliefs that they hold near and dear to who they are. And the idea behind this is that if we know these values, we know the non-negotiables, we can then build on them. Because if they're non-negotiable, we can't do anything until we know and understand those. And that could be anything from creating a better future, from providing 100% customer service excellence, loads of different things that could be your non-negotiables. So they are your values. And we discuss them, we talk about them, so that as a marketer, helping companies, what we can do then is build on what they believe in. And straight away, there's massive benefits to doing that because you get them on board straight away. You understand what their beliefs are and they realize, or hopefully they come to the realization that you are on their side and you are not going to try and change their values or beliefs in any way, shape or form. So that's the first part of the brick model, the values. Once we understand their values, we can move on to number two, and that's the problems their customers have. So what problems do their customers have? And this massively depends on a whole host of different things, the industry they work in, the size of the company. But first and foremost, let's ignore all that and focus on the customer. So they must have a particular industry they work in and multiple customers in that industry. So what problems does that industry have? What are the main issues within that market? We need to know and understand them first before we can build on anything. Because if we're not solving problems, then we're really not doing our job as marketers or indeed as a business. So that's the next part. We've got our values, our non-negotiables, and then our problems. What problems need fixing within our market? So that's what we need to find out. Fantastic. Right. We're getting there. We'll get some marketing soon. Once we've got problems, what do we do then? Well, we look for solutions, don't we? We've got our problems. What solutions do you, as a person, as a company, offer and provide other people? We need to know and understand those. We need to make sure that as an individual, as a company, we are providing solutions that people actually want to their problems. Now, it's not for us as marketers to ram this down their throat and say, we are the best solution. All we can do is provide all the evidence and the information about one, the problem, and two, our solution. It's up to the end user. It's up to the consumer. It's up to the business to decide if you are the right solution to their problem. The reason being is that there's so much information out there, there's so much guidance out there that it's almost impossible to control the narrative today because everyone has got data at their fingertips whenever they want. So we're not there to guide people to our solution, if you like. What we're there to do is go, hey, you've got this problem. These are our solutions, and this is why we feel we are the best fit for solving your problem. And if we do that, then we're not saying, we're not ramming it down their throat. We're not pushing all the information onto them. The information's there. It's readily available to help people. And if we're helping people solve their problems, then we'll naturally get that pull. It's being helpful. It's showing everything we have and saying, look, we are here to solve your problems. These are our solutions. Are they a fit for you? Yes or no? If they are, please come and talk to us. We can help you. But if we try to create falsehoods, if we try to create a narrative that is completely and utterly misjudged, consumers will see right through that. So we need to make sure that we are open and transparent about the solutions we provide to people's problems. Okay, so to summarize the basis, we've got values, which are non-negotiables. We've got the problems, which we solve, and the solutions to those problems. So what do we do next? We learn. That's the next stage. Learn. Research. And there's various ways we can do this. We can do this learning. And what I like to do is kind of steal, basically, from certain models and theories that are out there to really help understand three fundamentals. So when it comes to learning about an organization, when it comes to understanding the areas and what that company is all about, there's three fundamental areas. You've got the internal, you've got the external, and then you've got their customer or their potential customer. And those three areas are the ones that we're going to focus on right now. So what do we mean by learn? What is within the internal, the external, and the customer? So let's focus on the external first, because they're external factors that we have no control over, but might have a massive impact on our business. So how can we look to analyze and view and judge those elements that might impact what we are doing as a business or as an individual? And there's two areas that I would focus on in this external audit, and that is your competitor analysis. And what we mean by competitor analysis is there's no particular right or wrong. It's choosing areas that you want to be strong in, that you want to compete in, and looking at how your competitors compete in those areas. For example, do they have a social presence? If you're e-commerce, what is the user experience like on your competitor's website as opposed to your own? If you're B2B, what are the main caveats that they put in place to do business with them? Is it easy? Are there non-negotiables? What is their culture like? Those types of things will make a huge difference within your market for your competitors. And as you're analyzing your competitors, you can make that comparison against you as a company. If you're making that comparison, that's not to say there's any right or wrong in anything they do. It could be that one of your competitors serves a completely different person to you, and that's absolutely fine. There's no harm in that. But in understanding how your competitors serve, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, that exposes opportunities and threats to you as a business. It shows where your weaknesses lie against your competitors, it shows where you're strong, and it shows where you're weak as well. And if we know where we're weak, we can do things to combat against that. If we know where we're strong, we can do things to leverage that position. So that's the first thing we do. We look externally. External, remember, these are areas that have a massive impact on what we do as a business, but we have very, very little, if any, control over. So the second thing in external that I would look at is something we call PESTLE. So the PESTLE model, it started off as PEST, add a few E's, add an L, those types of things as we do as marketers, and you end up with PESTLE. And what PESTLE allows you to do is look at the market as a whole, look at the market and the wider areas within the world that have an impact on user business and your market. So just briefly, if we go over what PESTLE stands for, political, economic, social, technological, environmental, legal, and ethical. And if you do good analysis within all those areas, it will fundamentally highlight where potential opportunities are, where potential threats are going to come from, and all those types of things. So what we do externally, remember, we're still in the learning phase. External, we look at pest delay, we look at competitor analysis. Now we can turn our attention to the internal. So what do we look at internally? Well, there's a few models we can look at. We can look at the 7 S's, McKinsey's 7 S's. And we can look at the 5 M's. We can look at a whole host of other elements, the 6 I's of digital, loads of different models there. But what I feel is I've narrowed it down to 6 or 7 areas that are fundamental that we need to understand as marketers from an internal perspective that will really help us going forward. First of all, that is what strategies are currently in place. What strategies are currently in place that your organization has? Secondly, what are the skills you've got? So you've got strategic directions, and there's things that we can say about those. Are they the right direction? Are they a good fit? Are they still fit for purpose? But then as we move on to skills, have we got the skills internally to match these strategies, to actually achieve the strategies? So when we're talking about skills, they could be hugely subjective. But we're talking about the skills internally because what we need to look at there is, have we got the skills going forward that we require to solve people's problems? And as you can see, we start to build on these, this groundwork here. And then we look at things like structure, processes, materials that we've got in place, interactivity. So interactivity, what online, if we were to draw everything we have digitally online, what does that look like? What are we playing with? Is it good, bad, indifferent? Are we doing things that aren't getting the engagement that we need to or should do? How do we change those? Loads of different things we can consider when we think of interactivity. And the final thing we need to look at internally is objectives. What current objectives are set by the business? Now, these could be wide business objectives. These could be marketing objectives, or they could be comms objectives, really, really, really down and really, really specific. So to summarize what we do, we look at the external, pest delay, competitor analysis. We look at the internal, which includes strategies, skills, structures, processes, materials, interactivity, and objectives, which brings us to the final learning element. Woohoo! The final learning element in this brick model. What's that final learning element? Customers. Customer profiling. Avatars, personas, ideal clients. Whatever it might be, whatever you call them, what we want to do along with our internal and our external analysis is look at our customers. Who's that person you want walking through your door? What does he or she look like? What do they look like? Is it a family unit? You want to get really detailed, and there's a few ways we can do this. We can do it from an ideal client perspective, who we want walking through the door to say, I want you to solve my problems, please. Or we can do it from a theory and data-based approach. So we don't necessarily look at who our ideal client is, more who our current client base consists of, who offers the most customer lifetime value, who are our advocates, and do it from a data-driven approach. Personally, I like to mix the two. So I don't think you can go through customer profiling without being a bit out there, without being a bit, well, we want clients that are this or that. We want people in this age bracket. We want people that are passionate about such a topic. I don't think you can actually do that on data. So I go for a mixture. I go for a bit of ideal client coming through the door. What do I want to see? Who are they? Where do they live? What car do they drive? Do they like holidays in the sun or in cities, that type of thing? But also then go through the data. Look at your Google Analytics. Look at Facebook's Insight platform. Look at areas internally like a CRM system and gain as much information or data as you possibly can about your customers. Build that persona, build that perception of who your customers are. And once we've got the internal, the external, and the customer profiling, we've learned enough to take us on to the next stage, which is plan. I say learned enough because in my research and what I've learned listening from people such as Seth Godin and Mark Ritson is that after a certain while, you can only plan and research so much. Sorry, you can only research so much for it to be impactful. We can have reams and reams and pages of data and information. But are we going to understand, be able to analyze and dissect every single part of that? Yes and no. It depends on your team and the size of the company. But at some point, we're going to get information overload and data paralysis, and we do not want that. What we want is enough information to make valid judgments from, so then we can move on to plan. And that's what we're going to do right now. So we're moving on to the planning stage here. So what do we mean when we talk about plan? So for me, plan is looking to the future. We're planning ahead. And how do we do that? Well, there's a couple of models that I'm really, really passionate about and I really care about. Care about's a bit strong, but I'm sure let's rephrase that. That I'm really, really passionate about. And that is the SWOT and the TOES. So how do we combine the learning phase with the plan or the planning phase? So what we do here is we take all our learnings and our knowledge and we move it into this planning phase. And by moving into the planning phase, what we do, we take a SWOT, our strengths, our weaknesses internally, our opportunities and our threats externally from what we've learned in our planning phase. And we create the most critical, the most crucial, the most important elements in our SWOT. Strengths and weaknesses internally, opportunities and threats externally. So we take that from our internal and our external audit and also our customer profiling. So we've got our SWOT. We've created a good SWOT analysis on, say, 5 or 6 different elements. It could be more, it could be less for each SWOT. It doesn't really matter. It's the most critical elements, the ones you feel are most crucial from the analysis you've done. And this is the planning stage. So we've taken that and we've put it in our SWOT. And this is the key bit. And this is the part I'm wholly and wholeheartedly behind from any marketing planning at all. It's the TOES element, TOWS. It's the TOES element. So what do we mean by TOES? Okay, right. It is SWOT backwards, but it's not SWOT backwards. You don't just do a SWOT backwards. So what TOES does, and I've got other learnings that explain this a lot better. So if you want those, hit me up in the comments. But what TOES does, it combines all those elements of the SWOT together and pits them off against each other to create future directions, future strategic directions. So let's just talk that through. So we've got strengths and we've got weaknesses internally. We've got opportunities and we've got threats externally. We take those strengths and look at the opportunities and the threats and we go, we've got a really, really strong strength here. And there's a huge opportunity in our marketplace. If we can use that strength to focus on that opportunity, we have the best possible chance of that strategy working. And that's the same with the threats. You look at your strengths and you look at your threats and you go, that is a huge threat to us as a business. But we've got this as a strength. So we can use that strength to combat against that threat. And you do that for the weaknesses as well. So you look at your weaknesses and go, there's a huge opportunity in the marketplace. If we can reduce that weakness, that opportunity becomes a golden nugget. And then the final one, the one that people really, really struggle with, is the double negative, the threat and the weakness. How can you take a weakness and a threat and turn it into a strategic direction? Well, what we do there is we look at the threat and the weakness and go, okay, so if we reduce this threat, does that combat against, sorry, if we reduce this weakness, does that combat against this threat? And if it does, how does it? How can we reduce the weakness to combat against that threat? And that is your strategic direction. So there's four areas to cover there. And what I'll probably do is create another live where I go through the SWOT and TOES in a bit more detail. And that's the planning stage. One part of the planning stage. The next part is to do an SFA on those strategies we've created in our TOES. So what's the SFA? So that is suitability, feasibility, and acceptability. So what we do is we look at those strategic options we've created in our TOES, and we look at each one and mark it out of 5, 10, 15, it doesn't really matter. You pick the score, but we mark it suitability, it's feasibility, and it's acceptability. And top score wins, basically. You look at each strategy at a level playing field, out of 15, out of 30, out of whatever number you like, and you go, that is the strategy for me. That is the one that we need to focus on. It could be two strategies, it could be three, but then you start to get into the realms of how easy that is to do unless you can integrate them all and all that kind of stuff. Stick with two, possibly three, depending on the size of your business, depending on how linked they are. But usually two is a good marker. Okay, right. We have finally got a strategic direction in terms of the planning stage. Now what do we need to do with our brick model? We look to develop. So what do we mean by develop? We do this twofold. We do it long term and we do it short term. So let's cover the long term first. So now we've got some strategic direction in our plan. We look to develop our tactics. Tactics sound really short term. But if we've got some kind of strategic direction, we can make sure we've got a short term and a long term. So what do we mean by long term? We're looking for longevity and scalability. And what we mean by that is think about the bigger picture. You've got a strategic direction that's going to last a year, 3, 5 years. How do we make that really last? How do we scale that up? And this is what we usually consider the long term in our brand building, becoming more aware in a particular market, building that brand presence from the top. Our brand is our brand. What we stand for as a brand is what we stand for as a brand. That should never necessarily change. So we're thinking bigger picture. We're thinking brand building for longevity and for scalability. But let's claw it back. We've got that bigger picture over there, but we want to develop short-term tactics as well. How do we do that? Well, there's a number of things we can actually do there. The first one being build on objectives. First and foremost, we need to set objectives. It's as simple as that. If we haven't got objectives, how do we know we're achieving what we're trying to achieve? So we set objectives. Fantastic. Brilliant. We need to focus on two fundamental things there in developing our tactics. The 7 P's and the customer journey. So what do we mean by 7 P's? The 7 P's is the marketing mix. So what we mean by the marketing mix, 7 P's. Communication mix is just one of those P's. So we look to develop the marketing mix. Product, place, price, promotion, of which is your communication mix. People, process, physical evidence, of which some we've covered previously, but they might develop and evolve. And this is why it's called the development phase. The development phase in green. We've looked at the 7 P's, we've got our objectives, and now we're looking at a customer journey. Right from the first touch point to continual engagement after purchase. And by purchase or transaction, it doesn't mean it has to be monetary, it can be anything. So what we need to do from a customer journey point of view is map out all the touch points, map out where people are going, which stages people are going to and from. Understand what happens at each touch point and what somebody's looking for at each touch point, and how do you get them on to the next stage? That is crucial and critical. If we're not doing that per touch point, we can't really know or really understand where our friction points are within our customer journey. If we can understand the friction points, we can reduce those friction points and make it a better customer journey, a better experience for our customers, make it easier for them to reach their end goal. of solving their problem, and we're the company to help them solve that problem. Okay, so we're getting there. Now we've done all that, we can fit one more part on there, and that is the connect part. So what do we actually mean by connect? Well, we want to connect to our audience. We want to connect. Think of that customer journey. So we understand and we know the touch points that our customers are going to be involved in, but we've got nothing to show at those touch points. So this connection phase is all about content creation and creativity. And I just want to move that back off. But that, the connection point, the creativity, that is fundamental and huge. Everybody likes to talk about the content creation. Everybody wants a social media marketer. Everybody wants somebody that's a Twitter guru nowadays, or TikTok, or whatever it might be, the latest trend. But if we haven't done all this, then we can't necessarily get to that part. So that's the next part of it. Connect. Connecting to your audience at each stage of their customer journey. And that's what we need to do. Connect at each stage of the customer journey. What are people looking for at each touch point of the customer journey? And that's what we do at that point. It's a creative stage of the process. It's an exciting stage of the process. But we don't get there without any of that. That's just one part of it, a huge fundamental part, but the rest are huge and fundamental. So that's one other part. Okay, we're down to the final stage. We've done development. We've done connect. We're on to the final part. Let me put this on here, which is action, 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 action. It is action. And that covers the whole brick model. It seeps down and pushes upwards. Because if we haven't got action, if we're not creating the who, the what, the when, and I suppose some rationale into why, then it's all for nothing. It's all for absolutely nothing. So what we need to do is we need to create action. And that's usually in the form of a Gantt chart, and usually in the form of creating KPIs so we understand each action, each touch point, each element we're going to do in this marketing plan. We understand whether it's working or not. And if we can do that and we can work out whether it's working or not, then we have ourselves quite a robust model. We have ourselves some theory that we can strongly base our ideas and our research through to create a well-rounded marketing plan and content and creativity that makes sense, is understandable, and is easy to follow. So that's my brick model, really. If you've got any questions in watching this live or watching it back, please use the comments, get in touch with me. I'll happily talk about this brick model continuously, however long you want me to. And that's about it. It's a bit of a shorter episode, but I just wanted to talk you through that brick model, see if it was any good, if it was any use, and if it made sense, or if it needed tweaking in any way, shape, or form. Because I want this to be your model. I want this to be a model that's useful to you. I want it to be a model that's useful to businesses, not me. I utilize it to help businesses. But if it's not fundamentally helpful for businesses, then there's no point in using it. There really isn't. So please get back to me with any information, anything that didn't make sense, or anything you want me to dive into. That's absolutely fine. No worries there at all. Also, from a wider perspective, if you've got any questions about marketing or planning in general, or strategic direction or tactical elements, let me know. Happy to answer them at any point in the future. So this is me, Peter Sumpton, signing off. My first live by myself, I think, or is it second? Who knows? Who cares, really? As long as I'm adding some value to your lives, I'm happy. Okay, so have a good weekend and happy marketing. Thank you so, so much for listening and staying with me till the end. Not many people do on podcasts. If you want to chat a bit more marketing, feel free to hit me up on LinkedIn, email me at petersumpton at marketingstudylab.co.uk or join our Facebook group, Growing and Thriving. Just search for Marketing Study Lab on Facebook. Happy marketing.